Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The final hour of the Rob Brown Radio Program goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And it's the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown and the great Milanzo with you on a not-so-lovely Upstate Thursday morning. It is Masters Thursday. We are keeping an eye on the weather over Augusta. Another couple of scattered showers have just popped up, but they do appear to be clearing out the majority. Of the worst weather is to the southeast of Augusta National Golf Course right now. I am hoping, we are all hoping, that these will clear out. Now, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that by around 11 a.m., the rain is expected to be out of the area. And because Augusta National is pretty good at what they do, the golf course should be ready relatively quickly, and we should be able to start getting guys off on the course. The bad news is, I'm not going to let Lonzo poop on my hope and dreams like it's 5:40 in the morning. The bad news is,
yeah, I can read the sky like the next guy. I can jump on the Doppler and we can go toe-to-toe. Doesn't look good, Rob. I mean, you can be optimistic, but they still have to have time to prepare the course in between rain, and then you got another line of storms coming after that. It's not good.
They do, and it is not going to be easy. I am certainly not arguing that it is. I think what I am saying here ultimately is that I think that, though I could be wrong, it happens about once a month. I think that if they are correct and that the weather is going to, fingers crossed, be cleared out around 11 a.m., that it does not take a ton of time for this course to get into playing shape.
Well, according to what I'm seeing, they still plan on 10:30.
Which, again, fingers crossed, that's when it goes off. Because the bit of bad news in this situation,
and 10:10 for the honorary starters. That's when the old people go.
That's
out
when
there,
the old, right? That's when they roll Arnie and Jack out there.
They literally have to.
They literally roll them out. Yeah. You are not wrong. The fingers crossed version of this is that they do start around 10:30, because if they can get them off by 10:30, you might get the majority of rounds in before what is projected to be the next round of weather kicking in sometime around 5 o'clock this afternoon. And if that weather does click in around 5 o'clock this afternoon, then what you're hoping for at that point is that you're going to get more rounds than you don't. The amount of guys that will have to then go out and start their Saturday by finishing up their Friday will be limited. That's what we're pulling for. Does not mean that is what is going to happen, but that is what we're pulling for. So we'll see how the weather goes around Augusta, Georgia for the rest of the day and what, if any, impact it's going to have on the course, on the rounds. I do think this does give an advantage if you want to make any plays on this. If you've got a daily fantasy or something like that, that you are making birdie bets on, then I do think it's probably not a bad idea to maybe throw some coin at the guys that have early tee times. As of right now, the first tee time slated at 10:30 a.m., that's Eric Van Rooyen and Jake Knapp. At 10:42 and 11:18, Jose Maria Olazabal, Taylor Moore, and Santiago de la Fuente. That's a hell of a name, dude. Santiago de la
Fuente. He better look like his name.
You know what? I'm even willing to look that up because I'm not uber familiar with Santiago de la Fuente. Let's see if we can pull up old Santiago de la Fuente. Yeah, you know what he looks like? He looks like that Spanish guy that your wife tells you she finds attractive, but you don't understand why. That's what he looks like. Like, he looks like that Spanish guy that he would show up at the pool and your wife would be like, hey. You'd be like, no, not that guy. Like, if you ogle another dude at the pool, I get it. But, like, not Santiago de la Fuente. It's a good name, though. Like, it feels like if Santiago walked over to your wife and went, hola, I am Santiago de la Fuente. He'd be like, oh, man, I can't say it cool like that. Hola, my name is Rob Brown. Like, Ed, come on, man. It's a great name.
He's a younger dude.
He's a younger dude.
I mean, it's an old person name.
No, it's not. Santiago de la Fuente is a young action star you make a movie about. That's a great name. Danny Willett, Austin Aykroyd, and Steven Yeager all going off at 10:54/11:30 a.m. At 11:06, Charles Schwartzel, Luke List, and Christo Lamprecht. Another good name. Gary Woodland, Thorbjørn Olesen.
Thorbjørn.
And Bryson DeChambeau. Set at
11:18. Is that like a hyphenated?
No, it is not.
So Thorbjørn is one word?
Which, if you want it translated, don't worry, I got it. Thunder Bear. That's his name. His name in English is Thunder Bear Olesen.
That is beyond awesome.
You may all call me Thunder Bear from now on. I accept that name. The Bear of Thunder. Thunder Bear goes off at 11:18 at 11:30.
All right, I'm looking at it. He does not look like a Thunder Bear.
No, dude.
I expected a husky guy.
I see that kid growing up around 8 years old. Talking to the old man, and the old man's like, in the gym, Thorbjørn. Why, Dad? I'm 8. I want to play video games. No. In the gym. Why? Because your name is Thunder Bear, kid. I can't have some skinny-ass runt named Thunder Bear. I didn't waste Thunder Bear on a comic book fan.
Yeah, I'm not even sure he can grow facial hair. I'm worried about that cool name wasted on. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He could grow into it. He looks like I think he's 34. You know, by the time he's like 43, if he gets some of the gray bear hair and, you know, bulks up a little.
Dude, if you name your kid Thunder Bear, your kid better come out of the womb with abs, man. Like, come on. What a name. Thunder Bear. You better bring heat if you're calling yourself Thunder Bear. Anyway, Thunder Bear goes off at 11:18. Zach Johnson, Corey Connors, Jasper Stubbs at 11:30. Sergio, Chris Kirk, and Ryan Fox at 11:42. Lucas Glover, Byung-Hun Ahn, and Harris English at 11:54. Lefty, Phil Mickelson, going out just afternoon, 12:06, along with Sepp Straka and Tony Finau. And then Nick Taylor, Joaquin Niemann, 12:18. Patrick Cantlay, Minlu Wee, and Ricky Fowler at 12:36. Hideki Matsuyama, a very popular bet to win this thing at 12:48, along with my dog, Willie Z, Will Zalatoris, and Justin Thomas. John Rahm, your defending champ, Matt Fitzpatrick, Nick Dunlap at 1 o'clock. Scotty Scheffler, your probable champion, Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele, a marquee group at 1:12. One of my favorite picks to win at the price you're getting them, Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, Cam Smith at 1:24. Lee Hodges, Adrian Meronk, and Grayson Murray at 1:36. Some of the other notable names, I don't want to go through all the rest of them, but Camila Villegas is going out at 1:48. Vijay Singh at 2:12. Fast Freddy Couples at 2:24. Justin Rose at 2:42. Shane Lowry, 2:54. Bubba Watson in the 3:06 group. Patrick Reed going out with Sung J.M. at 3:18. Keegan Bradley is at 3:30. Adam Scott at 3:42. Eldrick slated to go out at 3:54. I don't love that. Let me tell you why. Because if they do indeed have rain coming back in the area and have to suspend play at 5 p.m., that means Eldrick's probably got to go out and play a back nine on Saturday morning. rally and recover and play a second 18 in the afternoon.
Oh, trust me, he's already feeling it.
Oh, without a doubt. He's going out with Jason Day and Max Homa at 354, Brooks Koepka at 406, Jordan Spieth, Ludvig Åberg at 418 with Sahith Theegala. You could have a winner out of that group. Spieth, Åberg, and Theegala are all competitors at 418. And then DJ, Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, and Tommy Fleetwood at 4:30 this afternoon. There's your tee times again. Right now, the Masters has said they are hoping, fingers crossed, to get the first set of golfers out at 10:30 this a.m. So we'll see how that plays out. And yes, my dude's name is Thunder Bear. That's a great name. It's a great name. All right. Let's finish up a thought that we were having in the last segment.
Is that the guy you go out drinking with?
Thunder Bear?
Yeah.
I'll do anything Thunder Bear wants to go do.
Okay.
All what right. don't you do that is cooler if your name is Thunder Bear?
I'm sorry I'm late, honey. I was out with Thunder Bear. You know what happens when you do that. I mean, you know.
Thorbjorn.
You go as long as Thunder Bear wants to go.
Listen, babe, I understand I was up till 4:30 this morning playing Call of Duty. But Thunder Bear said the boys needed another dub before we called it a night. You think I'm saying no to Thunder Bear? You get on the phone and tell Mrs. Thunder Bear that we can't hang out anymore. Also, if you marry Thorbjorn, if you marry Thunder Bear, instantly that woman's name becomes Mrs. Thunder Bear, right? Without a doubt. All right.
Or Water Buffalo or something. I don't know.
Water
Buffalo? I was trying to think.
What? Yeah, but you went with Water Buffalo? Yeah. You could have gone with like Lightning Shark.
Opposites, man. The opposite of thunder would be, I don't know, silence, I suppose.
Thunder Bear. All right, we were talking Carolina Panthers there for just a second. Let's go wrap up some thoughts that we were talking about on that one. The more I think about it, the more I am. Should the board shake out the way I think it's going to shake out, which is an early wide receiver run? I have been saying for a while, I think you hang with 2 second round picks, and I think you go with wide receiver at 33 and best available at 39. Best available, that fits a need. Defensive back, edge rusher to pair opposite Derrick Brown, whatever you end up doing. Maybe you find yourself the center of the future in case Austin Corbett goes down with another injury, which unfortunately has been what's happened to him more often than not. But then I think there's a wide receiver run coming. We know our top three. We know our top three are Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Romadunze, not necessarily in that order. I think they're coming off the board, MHJ, Malik, Rome. But Brian Baldinger told me yesterday there's a number of NFL teams that are considering moving Romadunze up to the top of that list. I don't agree with it. I like the guy a lot. But I think those two guys, Malik and Marvin, I think they stand out amongst most any wide receiver class. So I'm not quite ready to bump Rome up there. But I think once those three come off the board, I think there's a run. Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey. I think those are names that are likely available to you in the mid-teens. Ladd McConkey, I think, is the most limited of the group. He's obviously not an X. You know what he is? Young Adam Thielen. My question mark here is, if you're Carolina, does getting young Adam Thielen when you already have old Adam Thielen make a bunch of sense? It does if the future is next season, not this season, in which case it does make sense.
Which is why it does make sense, because they're not going to do anything this season. Why not bring a guy who can be the next guy to learn underneath that guy?
Here's why. And I am, so that we're clear, not fully committed to anything yet. Much like my real life, commitment is a struggle for me. But the reason why is this. Because if you are going to be bad this year and the goal is a good season in 2025, which I agree it should be. Atlanta found their quarterback. That was the biggest piece. The roster, if not the coaching, is good in New Orleans. I think they're a better team. Tampa Bay just won the division and a playoff game. I think they're a better team, even if they are going to take a step back this year. The reason why is, to me, you may not like it, this draft is about catering to Bryce Young. This draft is about making 2024, if not successful, I do think you need to define what successful is, but if not successful in terms of competing for the division, maybe stealing a wild card spot, I think your goal here is to do everything in your power to make this year as easy of a developmental year for a rookie year as Bryce Young can have.
It's not his rookie year.
It is his rookie
year. Please stop that. It is not. You're the only one who says that. This is his second year, but you said like it or not. Why would you not like the fact that the team is going to try to help their quarterback who they're going to have for a while? I mean, that's what you should be doing. They already did that by supposedly, and we'll see, shoring up the offensive line. So you need to get them some more weapons. Running back group could be better with the offensive line being what it is. And those guys both have been pretty good when they were behind good offensive line. So why would you not cater everything around making Bryce Young better?
Here's the good news. I do agree that running back needs to be a consideration for the Carolina Panthers. Miles Sanders wasn't the guy. Chuba Hubbard, Ring Blackshear, those guys can be good but not great.
Yeah, but they had to deal with coaches who didn't realize that they had a running team and they didn't have an offensive line to handle being a running team, and now they do.
So you have shored up the offensive line here.
Wasn't Sanders good when he was behind a good offensive line?
He was better. He was better than he was last year. But again, I even with a bad offensive line, which we agree on, Miles Sanders still did not do anything extra last year. I need somebody who's going to do extra behind Bryce Young. Here's the good news. The good news is this is a good, not great crop of running backs this year. The problem is you don't have a ton of the big boys out there. Okay, I'm looking at Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, about the most prototype running back in the draft. I'm looking at Jalen Wright, who is an athletic, very youthful player, not the most vision guy. I'm looking at Blake Corum out of Michigan, who had a slowdown after his meniscus tear, but was pretty good last year. Does not have elite athleticism, though. Tremendous running vision, but not elite athleticism at the running back spot. Unfortunately, I think in today's NFL, you kind of do have to have elite athleticism, either speed or size, to succeed at that position. I don't know if Blake Corum's got that. But then you find some names I'm intrigued by. Trey Benson, Ray Davis out of Kentucky, Marshawn Lloyd out of USC, Audric Estime out of Notre Dame, Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, Will Shipley out of Clemson. A lot of interesting names that have versatile skill sets that I'd be interested in. None of them in the second round. Probably, honestly, none of them in the third round, or at least not in the early third round. I think a lot of these guys are probably mid-third round guys at the best, with the exception of the first couple of guys that we named. So, because of that, I am finding myself drifting more and more toward the belief that the right play here is to package the 2 second rounders and get the best wide receiver you can get. I've been saying for a while, I was looking at guys like Troy Franklin. These are guys that I think are gonna be available at 33 and guys that I think could be pretty good at the next level. I want to move up to get the best I can get. And that means moving as high as I can get with the 2 second rounders and at most like a fifth, right? I'd be willing to go 2 seconds and a fifth, 2 seconds and a sixth, somewhere in that spot.
Wow, so you really believe there's going to be someone there worth that?
I think I am looking at names like Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. Now, I will also say this is predicated on my belief that there's going to be a wide receiver run early. If there's not a wide receiver run in the first 12 picks, then I think you're okay. if we get to the point where, let's say, Roma Dunze's on the board at 9, Brian Thomas Jr. is on the board at 13, I might not move. I might stay there. I think you probably lose out on a Donnie Mitchell, but now I'm more convinced that a guy like a McConkie, a guy like a Franklin, a guy like Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall from Florida, Jermaine Burton from Alabama, those guys will be available in those spots.
And maybe you can get two of them.
And maybe you can get two. Do you want to go two wide receivers, though?
Why not?
Because you added Diontae Johnson to the mix. Before Diontae got brought out of Pittsburgh to Carolina, I was all in on two wide receivers. Diontae is a solid wide receiver one. Do I think he's one of the best in the game? I think he's a top 12 wide receiver in the game, top 13 wide receiver in the game. I don't think he's inside the top five, but I think he is a more than capable wide receiver X. When I said I was going two wide receivers, my thought was I got to find an X and I got to find a Y that allows me to move Thielen into the slot. Now I just got to find a Y. Diontae's my X. That is locked in. He is your wide receiver one when this year starts, assuming he doesn't get hurt in the offseason program. But if he doesn't get hurt in the offseason program, Diontae's my one. Now I need a two to move Thielen to the three and play him in the slot where he needs to be playing. It also allows me to use probably 39 on that edge rusher to go find that edge rusher that I can plug opposite of Derrick Brown and have him play a stud spot. So that's where I'm sitting right now on the Panthers draft after the moves. Let's run to a break. When we come back, it is Thursday, and you know what that means. It is time to talk pro wrestling, boxing, MMA. It is time for Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo. It's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where we're going to take you out even if we're not 100% because we're that good and you're not. Sorry that you're not, but we're not you, so we don't care. A lot of things. Speaking of not caring, I mean, I know we need to talk about WrestleMania and everything, but there's this thing that may or may not have backfired. So during WrestleMania, it was all over social media because CM Punk went on Ariel Helwani and told apparently the truth from what we've seen about what conspired backstage at Wembley between he and the scapegoat. And he acted like he was reluctant to say it. I'm not so sure about that. So he tells all, and then suddenly Tony Khan says they're going to show the entire video of the incident. I don't know if that's the entire video or not, but it's enough to believe everything that CM Punk said. And I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm not a CM Punk fan, still not. Still think he's a troublemaker, but it looks like he was telling the truth about what happened between he and Jungle Boy. And it is all over my social media. I don't know about Rob's, about what a mistake Tony Khan made. Here's why? Why would you release this? What, Rob, what do you think he thought was going to happen when he did this?
This is a weird spot for me. Well, for AEW, because you got two things going on. Number one, they're the little brother. And there's the concept of little brother mentality, right? You see this in college football rivalries all the time.
Not very tactical.
Yeah, that was gross. We could hear that.
My bad.
I could hear the liquid in that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was gross. The problem you bump into here is you are going to be accused of having a little brother mentality. The flip side of that is, if we're being honest, WWE talked about AEW a lot in the 2 weeks leading up to WrestleMania.
They kind of goaded them into this. It almost looks like a setup.
There's also another side of this.
Maybe you find out real quick. Maybe you find out what the mentality of the person is who's over something, and you know that you can manipulate them into doing something they probably shouldn't do.
WWE talked about AEW a lot leading up to WrestleMania, specifically individual actors, those with connections back and forth. They were even referenced in promos, like when Rhodes was in the ring and you had Roman talking about the fact that you went somewhere else and you didn't even win anything there, right? And they had all these references. So if you're AEW, you have two ways to handle this, which is either A, you say nothing at all and you just let it go and you move on to whatever your next chapter is, or B, you fall into, let's be real, what 2024 is, that is, all press is good press. Because even if people are talking bad about you, it gets clicks. Was it a good idea to show the footage last night? I don't know. I guess it depends on if you had a side already. I will say this. Based on what I'm seeing on social media, if you were a Punk or WWE guy, you think it was silly and makes Punk look good. If you're a AEW and Tony Khan guy, you think it made Punk look bad. It's like Pete Rose gambling discussions. Nobody's changed their mind based on this footage. But what it has done is create a world where AEW has gotten more social media push in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, 36 hours than they were able to generate with wrestling in the past 3 months.
It's kind of sad. Good, you got the push and you can point out, hey, our ratings are up and all that kind of stuff, but what are you going to do next week? I mean, you would hope that your product would cause that to happen. And there were some good matches on last night, including starting out with a beatdown between Swerve and Joe, and then you got Adam Copeland versus Penta. I mean, that was really good. Then there were some matches that weren't so good, but I mean, it started out really strong, and it seemed like after the video was played, it kind of went downhill a little bit.
So I think a large chunk of this, a big part of the discussion that goes on here, it's kind of like advertising. I've had people tell me in the business before, like, I don't understand, you know, if you put out a great product, people are going to come. No, they don't. Not if they don't know about it. Not if they're not sold into it. This is why advertisers advertise. It's not about, I need to put my commercial on the radio and hope that you're going to get in your car and go buy my thing right now. It's just that at some point you're going to need that thing, and I hope that you recall the advertisements that I've run in the past. AEW is right now the best it's been in a while. Not ever, but the best it's been in a little while. The problem is because they did have that downslope and they cannot win just by quantity of audience members like WWE, they've got to find ways to get people to tune back in and then present them. If you turned in for that video footage last night at the beginning of the show, that's why they had Swerve come out and beat the hell out of Joe right out of the gate. You're like, oh, what's going on here? I need to come back for this. It is why they immediately followed it with a banger between Penta and Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You think that match was put there because Edge wanted to get out of there and get home to Beth early? No. They put it there so that if you watched the video footage and you stuck around and it was the reason you tuned in, you went, oh, damn, Edge is here. I might as well stick around for an Edge match and utilize that as a foundation to try to get people to stay with you for the rest of the show and hopefully for shows going forward. I don't think it was a bad idea. not just to show the footage, but to use it as a draw to your show. Welcome to media in 2024. This is why there's so many hot take artists in sports radio, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you watch it and you love it. It doesn't matter if you watch it and you hate it. It doesn't matter if you watch it and think it's the greatest thing or the worst thing that's ever been broadcast. It just matters that you watch it.
All right. Hopefully Tony Schiavone's reaction at the end of the thing is not what's about to happen in AEW. A lot of comparisons to WCW. Even James on the stream is mentioning it. Also, and we'll get away from this in a second. Well, before I move on to the scapegoat's next member of the Elite, isn't he? They've got Okada in there. Supposedly Hangman is suspended. They fired Kenny. So there's always four. There has to be four. It's going to be Jack Perry.
I would think if they're smart, they do that, because not only – listen, Jack Perry's going to come back with a heel rub. That's the character he went over to Japan to work on for a little while. Here's what I'll say, because I still want to talk about the video itself. In what I saw – we don't hear the conversation. There's no audio. Like I told Lonzo, it's a security cam. They traditionally don't have audio. I hope one day the recording comes out, because I think that will put it into context. But what I did see in a very quick watch this morning was Punk and Jack Perry having a conversation off to the side. You can see Joe walking around. You can see a number of other wrestlers walking around. At one point, Jack Perry goes to run his hands through his hair, and when he's pulling his hands through his hair, Punk shoves the crap out of him. Then they start to get into it. As Jack's being pulled away, Punk throws what appears to be a punch, which does confirm a lot of what AEW has said happened. And I will say this, for the folks that are looking at this through the lens of professional wrestling, I get it, but I want you today... don't do this. I want you today to go into your office. I want you to walk up to that guy that you've had an issue with at work. I want you to have a conversation. And the minute that he pulls his hands away, I want you to shove the crap out of him. And I want you to let me know if you have a job tomorrow.
Here's the thing, though. And so you and I are having the conversation. I put my hands in my hair, not as beautiful as Jack Perry's, but it may be one time. What would I have to say to you? Because we don't know what he said. What did he call Punk? What did he say something about his wife? What did he say?
I'm going to go ahead and say that in the land of idealism, of which you are the emperor, yes, there are things that you can say that get a rightful shove to the ground when you are
that have
at
to do with the
I'm trying I'm going
to
tell
why
you
are you cracking on me? I just was asking what someone would have to say to you to get you to shovel.
When you are at work, you do not put your hands on somebody.
Oh, I know that.
End of discussion.
I know that. I've been threatened in this very building before by someone. Yeah. And but there is no hands.
I will say, the person who loses the most in this is Tony Khan.
Yeah.
And it is because Tony Khan is 6 feet away, off to the side, and he doesn't move. That's the spot where you, as the boss, have to get involved. You have to step
in. Because he was afraid for his life, is what he said.
Yeah, is what he said. Yeah, and listen, on one hand, you're a skinny-ass, nerdy little son of a billionaire who has never once in his life had to do an actual job, okay? I get it. You've never been around actual work, and I understand that. On the flip side, you wanted this company. Regardless of how you started this company, you started this company. These are your employees. You stroke the checks at the end of every month. These are your guys. I don't care if both of these guys would whoop your ass into non-existence if you got into it with them. You, as the boss, have to step in and start handling. It should have been handled well before it came to this point.
Or, if anything, you stand up and you call in people and say, hey, separate them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You need to have done something here.
Yell at Joe. Get over there and stop that.
You need to have done something here. You did nothing here. At the end of the day, you can. And I feel, like I said, I think a lot of this has to do with what side of this discussion that you were on before the video came out. If you were a Punk guy, you think Punk looks good. If you were an AEW guy, you think Punk looks bad. The only guy that I think actively looks worse for all of this is Tony Khan.
Yeah, that's the thing. No matter what side you're on, it's a bad situation all the way around. First of all, you're in London doing the biggest thing that your company has ever done, and people are backstage fighting. And then, you know, there are firings over it, there are suspensions. And then because it's being brought up somewhere else, you decide to show it. It may help for an immediate push, but in the end, I don't know overall if it does any good. Speaking of which, the best wrestler on the planet Earth, Will Ospreay, went at Triple H because Triple H was on with McAfee. That's who he was on with. And he mentioned about a talent not willing to do the grind and that is WWE and signed elsewhere. I had no idea who he was talking about when I watched the interview live. Apparently, he was talking about Will Ospreay, who didn't like it, and basically said Triple H has his position because he does something with Stephanie McMahon.
The old bow chicka bow wow.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is also very intriguing because again, I
thought
think
this was more cringe than the video.
See, I don't, and there's a couple of reasons for it. Number one. Just like wrestling is fake fighting between fake personalities, the competition between WWE and AEW is legitimate, but both are going to use whatever they can use in order to give themselves the best opportunity to succeed, to advance. Right now, for most of us that are tuned into both, Will Ospreay is the best wrestler in the world. Better than Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, better than Kenny Omega, better than everybody on the WWE roster. He is the best wrestler in the world. And if you are, as AEW right now is leaning into this catchphrase of AEW, where the best wrestlers wrestle, he's that guy. And just like you will see on social media all the time, people frequently try to goad celebrities into getting a response. They will say things that they don't believe or that are untrue in order to get a response. Why? Because in 2024, visibility is everything. So if you send out the best wrestler you have to aim and fire at Triple H, a guy that right now WWE has up on a podium because of how good WrestleMania was and how good everything was leading up to it, then what you are...
I think the world has him on a podium. I don't think it's necessarily the company.
No, I mean, okay, if everybody else, WWE still does. He is on a podium right now amongst WWE fans. You are taking a shot at the king, but you are using, if you're AEW, the best wrestler you have to do it for the exact same reason we talked about the video. My goal is to get fringe WWE fans to go eyes on Will Ospreay and then go, damn, this guy actually is really good. And oh, by the way, it felt about as natural of a promo as I've ever seen anybody do. And then he goes out and puts on bangers of a match.
So I'm curious. Do you know anybody who's a fan of only one and not the other?
Yes. Yes.
Well, obviously, my circle not very big. I don't know anyone like that.
I absolutely do. I know fans of both, not of the other. And by that, I mean I know WWE guys who could not care less about AEW, and I know AEW guys who do not watch WWE anymore. You know one of them. We've gone to an AEW show with them before. So it is not...
Yeah, but he knows everything about WWE. How could he know that without watching
because
it?
Because he's a wrestling guy. It's always going to get into your circle. Yeah, just like how your Twitter feed right now, no matter what you do, it's like, oh, this is on there. It's because you build a circle that it's unavoidable, the biggest wrestling company in the world.
I watch both. If I had time for another company, I would throw that in there too. But
no one's accusing you of not doing that. What I'm saying is, yes, I do know people like that. And the game is publicity. This is why, and hell, I've been guilty of it in the past too. This is why people on this level of radio This is why so many of them take direct runs at people on higher levels of radio, because if you can get a, theoretically, of course, if you can get a Paul Feinbaum to mention you by name on your radio show one day and put it on ESPN on your television, would you look at that? Your follower count jumps up. I'm not saying anybody's ever done that specifically.
Well, it's like going after a certain coach and getting him to respond.
Yeah, it gets attention. Yeah. It gets your follower count up. It gets your listener count up, because people go, never heard of this guy, but if Feinbaum's calling him out by name, if my favorite college football coach is calling him out by name, I might listen just to hate. But as I've said before, when Odyssey gets our listener reports at the end of the month, it doesn't say X number of listeners, Y number listened out of hate, X or Z number out of love. It just says this many people tuned in. And I want that number as high as I can have it, no matter the reason why.
I wish they did have that number, because I would love to, I would hope that my haters are more than people who love me.
Yeah.
Because hate is love for me. All right, Roman Reigns, does he still exist, Rob? Did he lose and now he just no longer exists? Because he lost and now people are acting like he can't have a rematch or he's never wrestling again. And did he just disappear off the face? Did he retire immediately?
No, listen, people.
Did the bloodline just suddenly disband?
You've heard the expression out of sight, out of mind. You've heard the expression out of sight, out of mind. And
he's always off TV for like a couple of weeks. So.
What it is that Roman's going to take some time. I'm sure he's going to come back. I'm sure he's going to have a rematch. I'm sure he's going to lose that rematch. And I'm sure he's going to lose that rematch as a platform to set up whatever is next for Cody, Jay, Jimmy, Solo, and probably Jacob Fatu, who reports are he's on his way. And I'm excited to see that. I think that what you needed to do here is have a bit of a cool off for Roman to give him a little time to allow the revelry for Cody. Because if Roman comes out, Cody's story being finished is overshadowed immediately by the next thing. And I think they want a little bit of an afterglow for Cody's victory because of how much time they invested into it. He'll be back.
All right, one last thing before we go to break. UFC 300 is this weekend. It's billed as the greatest card of all time. But going through, and there's some really, really good fights. I see a light heavyweight, strawweight, lightweight, middleweight, lightweight, featherweight, bantamweight. You know what I don't see?
Heavyweight.
And that's where you get people. There are big names, but not the big name.
I think this is one of the best cards UFC's ever put together, but I think you've got to be an enthusiast to be a fan of it. Big names, heavyweight names is how you get people from the outside, fringe fans, casual fans, to want to tune in. A card like this is how you bolster your base. This is how you get Robin Lonzo to go, yep, I'm buying this one.
Yeah, but throw one. Even in the prelims, I don't see a heavyweight.
I agree, but also you built this great card of lower division guys. I say lower weight division guys. If I was to throw a heavyweight of your choice on there, that's a name. It overshadows this other incredible card you've put together. It overshadows everything else. Just like Roman coming back would immediately overshadow Cody's story, throwing a heavyweight title fight on there, or even a contenders fight, immediately overshadows what is an otherwise fantastic card. That's Fight Club. What the X is going on next, and then we are out of here on Masters Thursday in the Fan Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, time to ask Rob what the X is going on, and he will let us know why. The first thing that's Xing is National Pet Day.
I mean, every day is National Pet Day if you have a pet. I didn't know we had a National Pet Day. I will go ahead and tell you right now, the pupper's getting a pup cup today. All right, she deserves it. She's a good dog.
Every day is a national day of something.
It is. Yesterday was National Siblings Day. In which case the Red Sox had a pair of brothers going yad in the same inning. That's pretty cool.
Did you and your brother exchange insults?
We did not. My younger brother has the same issue as you do where he texts me and he expects that I'm going to respond, and then sometimes I just don't. He is currently actively working on planning out the bachelor party and sent me a date yesterday that I forgot to immediately get back with him. So we didn't exchange pleasantries yesterday. Just business.
But you at least talked to him on natural.
Yeah, I sent him one text. I said, I'll look at my calendar. Which I did.
So National Pet Day. So to give your pet a treat, apparently. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Joker 2.
Listen. I've only seen one thing from it.
The trailer, it's like a 3.5-minute trailer is out.
Okay. I'm intrigued in this movie. I enjoyed the first one, but obviously if you tuned in waiting for classic unhinged Joker, you didn't get it. It was a cinematic movie, and I frankly thought it was a good one.
Yeah, the pacing for me was very 1970s. The last 10 or 15 minutes of the movie was really good, though.
I thought it was phenomenal. I think it was and for the record, it was more of an exhibition of the impact of mental illness to me. It was a deep dive on the breakdown of the character as opposed to he's a bad guy and he's a clown. Get it? Batman's going to show up. Get it? Like, it was a interesting.
Well, Batman was there. He's just like 8 years old.
It was an interesting alternate take on the Joker. But the fact that they opened this trailer with a lipstick on a window, and then he turns to where the lipstick goes over the mouth, and then he smiles to me. First off, phenomenal shot. I mean, phenomenal shot. As a guy who appreciates film, phenomenal shot. So it looks like they're going to delve a little bit more into a classic Joker fix in this one.
For the fact that it's a musical. And so the majority of the thing appears to be he and Harley Quinn imagining that they're singing a bunch of things.
See, I'm okay with that because, again, the premise of this series, if you went into this wanting a superhero movie or a comic book villain movie, you're not going to get it. This is actually an interpretation of, again, the mental illness that led this cat to becoming this universe's Joker. It's not a fun comic book bad guy movie.
Right.
It's an art piece.
I don't know why you're being defensive.
No, I'm not being defensive. Okay, I am being defensive because I've seen a lot. I don't want a singing Joker. It's like, this isn't the Joker. If you want that Joker, go watch Jack. All right, go watch Heath. Go watch a Joker movie.
I'm not sure Joaquin Phoenix's voice is the greatest. But,
I don't think it's going to be either, but the premise of there was an episode of Scrubs back in the day that was a musical, and they set it up by there was a lady who had a head injury, and in her brain, everybody was singing. In real life, they weren't singing, but in her head, they were, and I think it's going to kind of go down that path, and I think it's got possibilities.
It looks like there might be some wonderful musical numbers in there, including very cinematic. He's walking with in between umbrellas that are all different colors, and you're hearing. I'm gonna go see it. I just hope the pacing's better. That's really, really why I didn't like the first one that much.
I loved it. I thought the first one was good. I thought it was.
I thought the first one was predictable, too. So maybe this one won't be as predictable.
It was meant to be that. I think they made it that way. I think they made the pacing odd so that you always felt unsettled by the pacing, because that is how people with a mental illness struggle. And I think it was the point to make you feel where people in that situation come from.
The majority of this show, I was right.
Yeah, you were right. like 3 out of 9 segments, which in your opinion is a majority, but is not a majority. It's not how numbers work.
Let's go.
Back tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show. Enjoy the Masters round one, everybody. We'll break it all down tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate later. Yeah!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.